Lines, Elijah David Mitchell, 12th Hour, Fox Valley, Congregation, 9,000, 12,000, New York, Texas. Today is July 16, 2017, or it is the 23rd day of the 4th month, 2021. We will start our first service on this first day of the week with a song entitled, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Yahshua's Blood and Righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Yahshua's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Yahshua's name. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, although the ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every hard and stormy gale, I anchor holds within the veil. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, although the ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the warming flood. And all around my soul this way, even is all my hope and stay. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, although the ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Lamb's Book of Life, Part 1. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. The new heaven and the new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heavens saying, Behold, the tabernacle of the Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He's going to make all things new. Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit unto a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Yahweh, having the glory of Yahweh, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. They said the walls had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And Paul was the 12th one. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man. That is of the angel. Okay, now that says the angel took and measured the wall of the city, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man. 144,000. Okay. And the building of the wall of it was of the jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto pure glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth a sardis, the seventh a chrysolite, the eighth a beryl, the ninth a topaz, and the tenth a chrysophrasus, the eleventh a janison, the twelfth an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the city, and the street of the city were the pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Yahweh Elohim Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of the Yahweh did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, but there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is the only scripture, verse 27, I just read it, the last one in Revelation 21, that has it listed just that away, the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the only scripture in all the Bible that says, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, now let's go and look for some more. The Lamb's Book of Life. We can find some related scripture. So, let's look at the word Book of Life itself. So, anytime we read the three words together, Book of Life, we're talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. It just didn't put the Lamb there. So, we go to Philippians 4:3. But actually, let's go to Daniel 12:1, and let's read that. And we're talking about in the book, just that alone. It says at 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." In what book? In the Lamb's Book of Life. Alright. It says in Daniel 12:2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Okay, so this is a book of records. Actually, I said it's the Lamb's Book of Life. This is a book of records that was kept of all of those that at the cross that had to deal with the crucifying of Yeshua on the cross. Their names is also written in that book to come forth in a special resurrection. Because it goes on to say in Daniel 12:3, it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, set up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Okay. So it says to Daniel, said, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end." Now in that book were the names of those that I just read to you. "Those that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Then in verse 2 it says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So in this book of Daniel here in verse 4, it has got the names of those that are going to come forth in a special resurrection of Daniel 12:2 and 3, and they've got the names of them. But we don't know their names. But it says when that book is opened in the last days, then we will know their names. We're going to know their names. And so that book is going to be opened unto the house of David at the appointed time. And then we're going to know the names of those that had their part in crucifying the Savior. And I'm going to tell you something. That was a type at the cross, but we have an antitype today. And we have an antitype of crucifying the Savior afresh and putting him to an open shame again. And that's the congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are guilty of that in the antitype. And so we said Brother Johnson crucified the Savior afresh and put him to an open shame by denying his truth when it came to him July 14, 2002, and told him to call a crisis in the church and to call an emergency and get all the members in there and hear this message from heaven, because this church is in crisis, and Brother Johnson refused to do it. So by refusing to do that, then he went on down, continued on, then resisting Yeshua and his message to reform and make a change. And so his name was the final one to go in this book of Daniel, this book. And it didn't say here in Daniel 12 that this is the Lamb's Book of Life. It is. This is not the Lamb's Book of Life. This is a special book by Daniel that he kept a record of just those that had their part in crucifying Yeshua, and then those that was alive at that time that had their part in defending Yeshua. All these people at the round of cross time when this happened, they were to be resurrected in a special resurrection. So if we have an antitype of this situation, then we're going to have a special resurrection now then of Adventists. Now Ellen G. White is going to come up in this special resurrection. And she says so in Volume 7 of the Testimonies, page 17. she's going to come up to take up her work anew here in this 12th periodic hour before probation closes. So her work didn't end in the 10th hour that she was called to work in from 1844 until time of her death in 1915. That was in the 10th periodic hour. She went to sleep, and she is the rest of the while in the grave, but she's to come forth to take up her work anew in the kingdom, and it says so, of heaven here on earth, here in this 12th periodic hour. So this is when these special resurrections are going to take place. And when it does take place, it means that there is a work to be done. So those that helped crucify the Savior fresh among the Adventists are going to be resurrected also. And they're going to have to be disclosed to you who they were. And you're going to be amazed at some of those people that's going to be resurrected. If Ellen G. White's going to be resurrected, then I see V.T. Hollis being resurrected. I see Ben Rhodes and his successor being resurrected. I see Verlis Johnson being resurrected here in this 12th periodic hour to receive their reward one way or the other. Now, those divisions are saying they're waiting for V.T. Hollis to be resurrected so they can follow him on into the kingdom. But the strange thing is that when V.T. Hollis is resurrected, and if his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's also in this book here of Daniel 12, 2, 3, and 4. If it's in that book, well then, he's going to take up his work anew. And Ellen G. White's going to take up her work anew. And all those others that worked with the Adventists, Jones and Wagner, 1888, 1890, Adventist ministers, that had a special message of righteousness by faith for the Adventists there, in 1888 to 1890, that the majority rejected by the influence of the General Conference President and his officers, and all of those that were members of the General Conference Association of Seventh-day Adventists, these that weren't of the laity that chose to follow Ellen G. White all the way, it was those that apostatized and went over and chose to follow the new organized General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists and their leaders. And so there you have it. We're going to see there's going to be thousands of people resurrected in special resurrection. And no doubt Elijah David will be given this information to call these people when it comes time for them to come forth, according to the prophecy, and it will be disclosed to this house when that happens. That will fulfill Matthew 20. No doubt that will fulfill Matthew 20, verse 1 through 8, especially verse 8. So when even was come, the master of the vineyard saith unto his steward, or the king of the vineyard, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hard about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, Thou hast, these at last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take the thine is and go thy way. I give unto this last, even as thou as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, which is the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, set up here in the 12th hour, that that's your last, that are called into the vineyard, and that is called into the vineyard to harvest, not to sow and reap, but to harvest. Well, actually, it is to reap, too, when you reap the last harvest, but it's not to sow and cultivate and plant. No, it's already just to reap that which has been planted. So the last, verse 16, shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Okay. So now, once again, as we review what we just read here in Revelation 21, it says in verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son." So who's going to inherit all things? Well, you see, it says all things. Well, that's all things of this earth. Okay. Now we're going to Philippians chapter 4. It says, verse 1, "Now therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Yahshua, my dearly beloved." "I beseech thee, Euodias, and beseech thee, Syntychus, that they be of the same mind in the Yahshua. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the Yahshpel," Yahshpel. We're going to create a new word here. Instead of six letters spelling the word gospel, which they use two parts, two English words, one of them called God, the other, and he spelled it out, they shortened it to gospel. We're going to put Yahweh's name on the front of gospel. We're going to put Yahshpel. And so we'll make it seven letters to the word gospel, whereas the word gospel by itself is six letters. We put Yahweh's name on the front of spell, and we have Yahshpel. That's what the Holy Spirit impressed me today to do. Start using that word Yahshpel. That says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored in me, with me in the Yahshpel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Okay, so what book of life? There's only one book of life, and that's the Lamb's book of life. That's the Lamb's book of life. Okay. Let's go look at Exodus 32:32. Let's just go look at that a moment. "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." So what book was Moses talking about here? He said, he's telling Yahweh, the Father, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Verse 33 of Exodus 32, "And the Yahweh said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Okay, so if we don't keep all of Yahweh's commandments, as we know to, then we are sinned against Yahweh. I don't care how you measure it. He don't overlook anything. Okay, let us go back now to Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Yahweh always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Yahweh is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With the thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Yahweh, and the peace of Yahweh, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds to Yahshua Messiah. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the Elohim of peace shall be with you. Paul's thankfulness, verse 10, but I rejoice in Yahweh greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of the want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through the Yahshua which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now the Philippians know also that in the beginning of the Yahspel, Y-A-H-S-P-E-L, okay, now if you want to pronounce that word spell, S-P-E-L-L, that's the word meaning to spell, but they just have the one L on it. When I departed from Macedonia, no congregation communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit, that may abound unto your account. But I have all and abound, and am full, having received of the Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto the Father, that my Yahweh shall supply all your need according unto his riches and glory by the Yahshua Messiah. Now unto Yahweh and our Father be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Salute every saint in the Yahshua Messiah. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of the Caesar's household. The grace of our Savior Yahshua Messiah be with you all. Hallelujah. Okay, that's the end of Philippians chapter 4. Let's go to see now what will be our next chapter that we need to deal with this here in the book of life. So it says in Revelation chapter 3, that's be our next place to go to. It starts with, where will you start with verse 1? Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel congregation in Sardis write, okay, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of Yahweh and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. This is Yahshua speaking. Yahshua has the seven spirits of the Father, and he has the seven stars, okay, which represents the seven ministers, prophets placed over the seven candlesticks of Israel, of the seven congregations of Israel. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before Yahweh. Now what does that tell us right there in verse 2? That means the Gilead Center, this was a message for Gilead Center. It's a message to all seven churches and all the one house of Israel collectively. So when it comes time for this fulfillment, this is what he said to Brother Johnson. Same thing. He said to all seven of them, of the angels, of seven candlesticks. He said in Revelation 3, verse 2, it says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So he's telling Brother Johnson, he says, creation calendar with you is ready to die. The ordained system of true worship that I have given unto you to perform and to teach and to perfect with your congregation is ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before Yahweh. He said, because I haven't found your works perfect before Yahweh. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come on thee. So, Yahshua, the one with the seven stars here in this chapter, he came to the threshold of the house in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, at the closing of the 11th hour and at the inauguration and the beginning of the 12th parabolic hour. That's when he said, because Wallace was teaching that the 11th hour was the last hour, and he just didn't know how to deal with that 12th hour, so he just kind of brushed over it and said, well, we'll spend the 12th hour when we get into the land of Israel. And that's when we'll spend our 12th. So we'll make our transition from the 11th hour to the 12th hour when we get into Jerusalem and stand with 144,000. That's all he could explain about the 12th parabolic hour, the last parabolic hour. And so therefore, Yahshua said, better watch, for he said, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So if Brother Johnson had studied that prophetic time clock, the 12 hour, he would have known, Yahweh would have shown him, if he really wanted to know, Yahweh would have shown him exactly where he was at on the time clock. But since he didn't make it an interest or a study, didn't see any need of it, he thought he had, since he published Creation Calendar already, he thought he had everything in place, that he didn't need anything else. Okay, verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the congregations, unto the seven congregations. Verse 7, and unto the angel of the congregation in Philadelphia, that's William Miller, First Day Adventist, 1833. The angel of Sardis before him was Alexander Campbell, the Baptist, 1810. So when it says in Revelation 3:7, it says, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because I have kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of the temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now he's talking to William Miller, 1833 to 1844, and this is at the closing of the ninth parabolic hour in 1844, and this message is for William Miller in the First Day Adventist, and that 50,000 people that had followed him out of spiritual Babylon, out of those fallen churches, out of the Catholic Church, actually. Okay, it says in Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my Yahweh, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my Elohim, and the name of the city of my Elohim, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my Elohim, and I will write upon him my new name. So here's three identification marks that are to be received by those who are to have eternal life and to have residency in that holy city when it comes down from Yahweh out of heaven. Revelation 3:13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven congregations of Israel, with the seven stars, and unto the angel. Verse 14, Brother W. Johnson of the Congregation of the Latter Sins at the Kermit, Texas, Division of Seventh-day Adventist, write these things, that's actually Branch Division of Seventh-day Adventist, write these things, saith the Amen, and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of the Yahweh. I know thy works. If thou art not a cold or hot, I would if thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and not a cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thy eyesight, that thou mayest see. And this is just talking to one person here. He's talking to the angel of the seven candlestick, Laodicea, at Kermit, Texas, 2002, while he was still alive. This is addressing that angel, Brother Johnson, through his servant Elijah David. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Unto him that overcometh. This is talking about now at the Branch Davidians, the Gilead Center. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sit down my Father and his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven congregations of Asia, which is of Israel, in Israel. End of chapter 3 of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation now, chapter 13. A beast rises from the sea. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Okay, now, you're going to find out that this old dragon, initially, is Satan, Lucifer. You're going to find out that this word beast is also represents Lucifer, but not in the same sense as the dragon does. The beast could be a devil. It could be the devil, but it could be a devil. It's a new world order system. Okay, let's go on. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. So, this beast is your new world order. Donald Trump has a limousine that travels with him wherever he goes, and it's a special built limousine, and it's one of a kind. It's bulletproof, it's bombproof, it's everything proof to a certain degree, and he calls it the beast. They have a computer building in Brussels, Belgium, and it's called the Beast. So, let's go ahead. Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, Satan, Lucifer, which gave power unto the beast. Okay, the new world order, unto his governmental system. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? In other words, the new world order today would represent this beast. Who is able to make war with him? Now it puts the pronoun him to it. Now it's no longer identified as a governmental system for the world, but it's also identified as a person. So now that's when this beast becomes synonymous with the word dragon. And so now this him, this beast that is called him, is once again Lucifer. And it could be his number one man he put in charge of the beast. And so let's go ahead. Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him. Well, who is this him? Well, you're going to find out that this him is a servant of the beast. He's the one in charge of the beast. That would be the President of the United States of America. And when this prophecy met its fulfillment, Obama was the president. So this him, this pronoun him, belongs to Obama. And to continue 42 months. Oh. Now the beast, his time was up in 2016-2017 to run the government of Babylon, which is out of Washington, D.C. But he never gave up. Even though he had to leave his initial office, this beast moved down the street several blocks or a couple of 3 miles, and he stayed in the geographical location of Washington, D.C., and he moved down the street, and he set up his headquarters to continue on for 42 months. 3.5 years. Now, watch this. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yahweh to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Okay. So Obama has already been videotaped and recorded with the news media here way back when he started, had his first 4 years in the Oval Office. From 2009 to 2013, he had 4 years there that he openly and verbally and visually, by the videotape, blasphemed Yahweh in heaven. And he blasphemed his holy name, he blasphemed his tabernacle in heaven, he blasphemed him here on earth and in the United States. Okay, and it was given unto him, verse 7, Revelation 13, and it was given unto him, this blasphemer, which is a Satan. He is a beast, he is not the beast, he's in charge of the beast, but he is a beast, okay, to make war with the saints. Well now, this is amazing because it says in Daniel 7, let's go read it, starting with about verse 22. It says, the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Okay. But it says in Isaiah 45 that Donald Trump, antitypical Charles, is raised up in righteousness and anointed. So he'd have to be classified then with the saints that's put in charge of the kingdom. Notice it says in Daniel 7, verse 22, it says, until the ancient, let's look at verse 20. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, this is Daniel 7:21, and the time came, and I it says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the same, and prevailed against them. Okay, now Obama represents his horn, folks, I'm going to tell you right now. And he has set up his kingdom just right down the road from the White House, and he has declared war against this new king that come in and overthrew him and took over his seat there in spiritual Babylon at the White House in Washington, D.C. And he has secretly, has declared war by declaring war against Donald Trump to undermine his presidency. He even made a statement that it'll only last about 2 years. That after 2 years, Donald Trump won't be able to handle the problems that is created for him, and he will just just get up and walk away from it. Not so. It's not in the prophecy. It says here in Daniel 7:22, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, isn't this amazing? That Donald Trump, since he became president and had taken his office, seat of office, at the White House, he has appointed one major Supreme Court judge. That's the judge. And he's already swinging everything in the right direction. And then he's going to appoint another court judge, which is called appeals court judge. He's going to appoint in 3 weeks also to sit upon a judgmental throne that's going to rule in the favor of the kingdom of Donald Trump. And he said, so this is what he's talking about. He says that this here, this Obama, made war with the saints and prevailed against him until the Ancient of the Days came. For the Ancient of Days is the Father, and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now this kingdom has already been set up by Elijah David for the kingdom of heaven, 2002-2003, but this kingdom that has overthrown Babylon, this kingdom of untypical Cyrus, was just set up here in it was set up here at the last election of November the 8th, 2016. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. Okay, so the fourth beast that Daniel saw in vision represented pagan Rome, which is now represents ecclesiastical Rome, the Catholic Church. He said, it's the fourth beast upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. That is also diverse from this kingdom of the United States, and shall devour the whole earth. Talking about all, not only the United States, but the whole world. And shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And that's exactly what's happening already. And it's happening every day. As this earth, the whole world has been broken in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And it shall be given into his hand until of time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment, verse 26 of Daniel 7, shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom of the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitions much trouble me, and my account has changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Okay, so in verse 27 of Daniel 7, it says, and the kingdom, and the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High. Now, what is this kingdom here, and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven? This is the kingdom of Babylon. Now, who was the first king of Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar. And it ruled over the whole world. This is the antitypical kingdom of Babylon that has its headquarters in Washington, D.C. But the kingdom of Babylon, when the last king of Babylon, Belshazzar, Obama, was overthrown in 2017, by Donald Trump, then it says, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. So Donald Trump has taken possession now of this spiritual kingdom of Babylon, and he's going to make it the greatest kingdom. That's what he keeps saying, make America great again, make the whole world great again, because all nations are following now after this kingdom that's been set up by Donald Trump. They're following the initiatives of everything that he proposes and gets done. So that's what makes it great. And shall be, but this kingdom that's set up by Donald Trump is going to be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. So when we come into total unanimity and perfection, and we get the Pentecostal power poured upon us once we have reached perfection, then the time will come when we'll take possession of this great kingdom here in the United States that's set up by Donald Trump, that had overthrown the wicked kingdom of Babylon, because it says Cyrus in the type, they say when he overthrew Babylon, said he became the king then of Babylon. But Donald Trump overthrew Babylon with Obama at the head of it, and typical Belshazzar, and now Donald Trump is the king of Babylon, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Okay, now this him now, this pronoun him, who is that? That's Yahshua. Yahshua now is this king that has taken dominion over this great kingdom of the earth. And you can go read about that in other places. Let's continue on now with Revelation 13. Let's go back to verse 6 or verse 5. And it was given unto him, Obama, the king of wicked Babylon, the last king of the spiritual Babylon, Washington, D.C., a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So he's continuing on even though his presidency is over. He said he's going to stay in Washington to see that his programs are carried out that he had proposed before he went out of office. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy. This is Obama against Yahweh, to blaspheme his name, Yahweh, Elohim, Yahshua, and his tabernacle. That's his kingdom of everlasting kingdom of heaven, and them that dwell in heaven, and also those that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, folks, this actually happened when Obama became the king of Babylon in 2009. He had 8 years he ruled as king. And power was given unto him to make war with the saints. So I've had to make a little correction here from my previous information that I'd given on this. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So, if you don't have your name now in the Lamb's book of life at the time that this here Obama that had the power, and it said, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship them whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Why will they continue to worship him? Folks, we got a health care program called Obamacare. It's a government program. It means all those that sign up, and whether they sign up or not, they're forced to take Obamacare. As long as that legislation is in operation until it is repealed, then that legislation alone has the power to imprison everybody on planet Earth under its system. You're forced to take that Obamacare by the government, whether Donald Trump is in there or not. That's the reason he's trying desperately to get that program repealed. But he can't do it. And now he's got the Congress and the Senate that has put forth another bill, and they have so changed it and watered it down. They said it's called the Trump bill, but it doesn't repeal Obamacare. Matter of fact, he even puts a $200 billion stimulus to Obama's program and leaves Obama's program essentially intact with everything that he had proposed. So, before Obama went out of office, the health people, the health insurance people, gave him a $12 million bonus if he could influence the Congress and the Senate not to allow that health program to be repealed. So that's why he's staying in Washington, D.C., because that is what will keep everybody taking a number and a name in their foreheads if they can be forced to take Obamacare that was put in operation under his regime. So Donald Trump is not going to be able to repeal Obamacare, but he has a senator that said today, he said, if Donald Trump will do what he said he'd do the first time and just repeal the Obamacare and don't put anything in to take its place, just repeal it and get it repealed and disannulled, so you have to take the people out from under its slavery with receiving this mark, and then start implementing things where they are needed. With private insurers that are outside of the government don't have no attachment on. So this is what the fight's over right now. This here health care for the, not only for the United States, but whatever goes in here affects the whole world. Okay, it says in Revelation 13, verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. A beast comes up from the earth, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So here comes a new world order, a new government, a new governmental system, and a new country coming into focus. And this is the United States, 1776. This beast was the old, the Catholic system. The Second Vatican, Rome, was set up here in this country. John the Revelator saw it come out of the sea, come from the old country. This beast came... So he says, and I beheld another beast come out of the earth. Out of the earth, this here is in the United States. He had two horns like a lamb. That's our Democratic Republican Party. That's when our Constitution was born with our forefathers, 1787. And he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast of the pagan Rome before him, the fourth beast, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So the first beast had a similar new world order system for the people back then 2,000 years ago, the pagan Rome, at the cross. Well, the antithetical pagan system is going to have a similar system. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Nebuchadnezzar made a great image in his day. He called all nations, representatives of all nations from all over the then known world, to come in and join in the dedication of that image of the beast. And he, after they got there, he insisted that they all bow down to it and worship it. And if they didn't do that, then they would be cast to a furnace of fire. They couldn't show if all nations couldn't show their allegiance under this beast, which represented Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon's power and might to rule over all the world, then they would be cast to a burning lake of fire, a fiery furnace. That's the same thing as this burning lake of fire there in Revelation 19:20. To the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So the United States set up this image of the beast. Obama, George Bush, Clinton, Obama, George, Clinton, Bush, and Obama took them 24 years to set up this image of the beast. Actually, it started with their father, George Bush Sr., in 1989. He actually started it. And 28 years that these four presidents, were in setting up this image of the beast, from 1989 to 2017. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive and mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay, 666. There you have it, folks. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Your first six starts with the Garden of Eden, and the last six ends here in 2017. It culminates, 3 sixes are brought into view here in 2017. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
There's a garden where Yahshua is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. For it glows with the light of His presence. It's a beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer. To the garden where Yahshua is waiting, I go with my burden and care. Yet to learn from His lips words of comfort in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Yahshua is waiting, and He bids you to come meet Him there. just to go and receive a new blessing in the beautiful garden of prayer. For the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. And the Savior waits, and He opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer.